There are new revelations today about Ahmed Chalabi, the Iraqi politician who had until recently enjoyed close ties with Washington. Much of the intelligence he provided about Iraq before the war turned out to be wrong. And now, U.S. officials say they believe Chalabi leaked classified U.S. information to Iran, even telling Iran that the U.S. had cracked its secret intelligence codes. Giving away this secret would compromise one of the U.S.'s most important sources of information about Iran. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports.
Former and current intelligence officials are following this story with alarm. They say if it's true, it represents a devastating blow to U.S. intelligence efforts. Vincent Canestraro, a former CIA counterterrorism official, says the U.S. has been blinded.
We are now ignorant of a number of objectives and plans that the Iranians may be carrying out, who they're talking with, who they may be subsidizing or supporting, what activities they may be promoting to oppose American objectives. That is a loss that's almost incalculable.
Rumors about Chalabi sharing secrets with Iran first surfaced several weeks ago. Chalabi has consistently denied the charges. He told NPR last month they're lies. Today, new details were emerging. The New York Times reported that Chalabi divulged the code-breaking information about 6 weeks ago and said he'd heard it from an American official who was drunk. Today, a spokesman for Chalabi, Entefad Kanbar, said new details don't change the basic fact. The allegations are false.
They are unattributed, unsubstantiated. The United States of America is our strategic ally, and it's going to remain to be our strategic ally.
Kanbar does have a point when he says the allegations are unattributed. Today, officials at the FBI, CIA, White House, and Defense Department declined to speak on the record to NPR about this story. But several were happy to speak on condition that their name not be used and to point fingers over who in the U.S. government was leaking classified material to Chalabi. One former official, Graham Fuller, a previous vice chairman of the National Intelligence Council, says he's surprised at how much inside information is being dished.
The fact that this is all being bandied around in the press suggests to me an extraordinary war at high places in the administration between the pro-Chalabi and the anti-Chalabi factions.
The pro-Chalabi faction is known to reside mainly at the Pentagon. Until last month, the Defense Intelligence Agency paid Chalabi $340,000 a month for intelligence. That relationship ended abruptly 2 weeks ago, around the time of an early morning police raid on Chalabi's office in Baghdad. Judith Yaffe is a senior fellow at the National Defense University. She spent 20 years at the CIA, much of it studying Iraq and the Persian Gulf. When asked whether it's likely that Chalabi got his information from Defense Department officials, she replies, who else would have told him?
The question you have to ask yourself is who would both A, have access, and B, access to Chalabi as well as to this information? That limits the circle.
The FBI has opened an inquiry to try to figure out who talked to Chalabi. It won't confirm which agencies it's investigating. Today, a Pentagon official said he knew nothing about an FBI investigation into senior defense officials. Meanwhile, questions persist as to why Chalabi might have passed information to Tehran. Judith Yaffe says there's a simple explanation. Chalabi wants power in the new world of Iraqi politics, and the Iranians are in a position to help him.
The Iranians have been providing some kind of support to him, but nothing comes for free. So if he wants to get or guarantee himself Iranian support continuing, then he has to offer them something that's value to them.
As for the man at the center of the controversy, Ahmed Chalabi spent today helping negotiate a ceasefire in the southern Iraqi city of Najaf. His spokesman, Entefad Kanbar, says his boss has every intention of, quote, continuing to play a positive role in Iraq's future. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.